Exodus chapter 8, continuing to look at Moses and specifically his prayer life. And we saw last week that whenever something happens, he asks God, he doesn't know what to do. But we see, beginning in verse 7, of how he just simply, he'd say to the Lord, what do I do? The Lord would tell him, and then he would do that. And we see that in Exodus chapter 8, that's what he did, is the Lord would say to Moses, okay, I want you to do this, I want you to say to Pharaoh this. We see verse 20, the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, they may serve me. And so that's what he did, that he obeyed God. We see that the Lord was with him, that the Lord was working through him because of his obedience. And we find actually in verse 28 of Exodus 8 of how that Pharaoh himself, that he recognizes the relationship that Moses has with God, that he's his representative. And we see that Pharaoh asks Moses to entreat God on his behalf. And of course the problem is Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and each time he gets the plague taken away, he hardens his heart and doesn't let them go. But we see that the Lord knew that. He told Moses that was what's going to happen. And so again, God told Moses what to do, and Moses followed him. So we see throughout the plagues and their deliverance, God is with them. And so if you turn with me over to Exodus chapter 14, there's a series of three different passages we want to look at. And this is just before the crossing of the Red Sea. Everyone's panicking, seeing the Egyptians are upon them. And we see, verse 14, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And it's kind of odd in some ways, because you get what the people are saying. They're crying against the Lord and against Moses. And he reassures them. He says, you don't need to worry. God's going to take care of it. But then we almost see, he finds, okay, well, Lord, what's going to happen? How are we going to take care of this sort of thing? And we see verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go out on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And it says, and I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, they shall follow them, and I'll get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And so we see that he was continuing in the pattern, what God would say he would do. But we get to this crisis situation. He's not sure what he is to do. He's worried, but God says, don't worry. Just do what I say. And he does that, and the Lord blesses and gives great deliverance. So then we see, again, Exodus chapter 15, another situation of crisis. They came, they went 3 days, they didn't find any water. They came to Meribah, and the waters were bitter, and they murmured against Moses. And we see verse 25, the phrase again, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and ordinance, and there he proved them. And so we see that he was in trouble, he was at crisis. And he didn't know what to do. He cried on the Lord, and the Lord gave him an answer. We see again Exodus chapter 17 and verse 4 that they murmured there was no water to drink, and the people were complaining. And we see again verse 4, Exodus chapter 17, verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord, of course, gives them direction, shows them to strike water from the rock. And with each of these three things, what we realize with it is Moses has just an utter dependence upon the Lord. He's not leaning upon his own understanding. He's not thinking that he has the know-how or the expertise to handle these people, to deal with this problem. He feels totally inadequate. And he says, Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, well, I will tell you, and do what I say, and I will bless you. And that's something that with any kind of problem we face, any kind of crisis, we need in many ways to have the same response as Moses, that we cry unto the Lord, that we say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Can you please show me? Give me wisdom. And we know that if any man asks, anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so we can know that if we ask wisdom of him, he can give it to us. And usually we run into trouble because we don't ask that. We figure we can figure it out on our own, and it can get us in a lot of trouble. And we find that with Moses. A few times, there weren't many times, but there's some times where God told him to do something, and he kind of had his own idea, and it got him into a heap of trouble when he did that. And so that's what we desire in our lives, to recognize our dependence upon God, that we need him at all times. Not just for the big things, but for the little things too. So then we see, there's a brief passage in Exodus chapter 17, the fight between the Amalekites, and Moses stood upon a rock, or stood up on top of the hill and held up his hands. Israel prevailed. When he let them down, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the other side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And we kind of see that, just he is God's man, but yet he needed help. He needed these two other men to come alongside him, to support him, to so that he could complete his work. And we realize that it's we just see the necessity that in our own selves we have weakness. There are things that we cannot endure, things we do not understand, and we want to realize that we need help, that the Lord can help us, and sometimes he sends other people to help us, and we need to be willing to take that help. So then, as we see that as they travel and they're at the Mount of God at Mount Sinai, where they will receive the Ten Commandments, and we find in Exodus chapter 19, it says, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel. And so God has a message for the people, and Lord says, these are the words I want you to speak in the children of Israel. In verse 7, Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So he was essentially a go-between. He was a mediator between God and men in this sense, that the people were not able to speak to God directly in this time. That God spoke to Moses, and then Moses told the people, and the people told Moses, and then Moses passed it on to the Lord. And so we find him, he's brought up to the top of the mountain, and we see verse 19, it says, when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain. Moses went up. And so it's this thought of him communing with God on the top of this mountain, that there was thunder and lightning and other things happening on the top, the great cloud upon the top, the glory of God, and he was meeting with him. And that's what we desire, is that we would meet with God when we commune with him in prayer, that we would have that closeness to him. And we see that that as things were happening, it says verse 18, this is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain spoking. And the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And so the people felt they needed him to be their go-between. They could not approach God. And so he fulfilled that role of an intercessor between man and God. And so he was given the law. And what I finally want to end on is Exodus chapter 32. And of course what happened is while he was up on the mount, that the people descended into wickedness and idolatry. And we see in verse 7 of Exodus 32, the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I command them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped them, and sacrificed thereunto. And he said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. That you think of it, that he was an intercessor for his people, that the wrath, God was going to pour the wrath of God upon them, and justifiably so. And he said, I'll consume them and make of you a great nation. And I think some days what he had to put up with, he might have thought, well, that would be good, that he wouldn't have to deal with that anymore. But we see that his heart isn't like that at all, that he said, well, Lord, please be merciful. For your own sake, for your honor and glory, be merciful unto them. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And we see that he speaks to God, and this wrath that would have fallen does not. That God, because of his prayer, because of his heart that he sees of Moses for his people, he decides, no, they will not be destroyed. The judgment still fell. Many of them that were engaged in it were slain. But we see verse 30 of that chapter. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And we see his heart here for his people. He loved them. Even though many times they wanted to kill him, he had many reasons not to, but yet he loved them. And he said, well, Lord, please forgive them for their sin. And if you will not do that, he says, well, blot me out of the book which thou hast written. It says, basically, condemn me to an eternity in hell so that they may be spared. That he was willing to give his not simply his life, but his eternal destiny for the sake of his brethren. Just as with Paul said that he wished that he could be accursed for his brethren, the love that he had. And so we see that as an intercessor. And it's something that we recognize if we want to be men of prayer, if we want to intercede on others' behalf, that it is not something where we're always judging people. It's the idea where even if they've done something wrong, that we're holding them up before the Lord, asking God to be merciful and turn away his wrath from them. And so we realize, of course, that Moses could not get God to blot himself out of the book, but we see his heart and we appreciate it in that. And so may the Lord help us to learn from Moses that we would have that same heart. As we look to begin with, just the necessity of obedience to what God directs, our dependence upon him, but then also the thought of intercession for others, that we would be faithful in that, that we would look at that as a ministry, to pray on for others before God, pray on their behalf that they might be delivered. It is something that the Lord can bless in if we have the right heart attitude. All right, so that's the lesson for tonight.